Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 2014. This is issue 349. I'm your host, Fred Bobie. The address for the DX Audio Service is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. My email for general inquiries is fvobie@realoldiesradio.com. For subscriptions or payments, it's sales@nrcdxas.org. My telephone number for short calls is 419-228-6223. Please leave a message. And the number is not to be used for musings or to leave reports to the DX Audio Service. The musings number is 419-741-0205. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is now $30. The magazine is published on CDs, and to subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using PayPal. If you're on the Internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with PayPal, but subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without anyone else's assistance. Well, I've got probably another bad cold coming on here, so I'm going to kick it right over to Los Angeles. Here's Dave Alpert.
This is the AM Switch. If you would like to contribute to the AM Switch, send your information to Fred at the address you hear at the start of the show. This issue, we have five editions, AM Switch Volume 81, Issues 12 to 16, starting off with call letter changes. 550 KMVI, Wailuku, Hawaii, has changed its calls to KNUI, which we'll talk more about in just a second. 790 WQSV, Ashland City, Tennessee, changes calls to WJNA. 900 KNUI, Kahului, Hawaii, changes calls to KMVI, which is why we call this column the AM Switch. 1080 KUDO, Anchorage, Alaska, changes to KOAN. 1130 KTCN, Minneapolis, Minnesota, is now KTLK. And the KTLK, which was on 1150 in Los Angeles, is now KEIB. 1180 WSKP, Hope Valley, Rhode Island, changes to WWRX. 1180 WSFM, Carolina Beach, North Carolina, changes to WLTT. 1270 KFUT, Thousand Palms, California, is now KFSQ. 1270 KRVT, Claremore, Oklahoma, changes to KTUZ. 1370 WEGI, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, changes its call to WRND. 1550 KZRK, Canyon, Texas, becomes KNSH. New station watch. Application for new construction permit filed by 530 CIAO, Brampton, Ontario. They've applied for U1, 1,000 watts day, 250 watts night from a new tower at their existing site. Here's something you don't hear of often, a new AM station in Canada. 580 in Edmonton with U4, 10,000 watts day and night with an ethnic format. If 580 in Edmonton sounds familiar, this is the ghost of CKUA, having only just departed. 590 CFAR in Flin Flon, Manitoba. Their new FM station, CFAR 102.9, is now on the air, but unusually they have not requested to turn the AM off. 820 WNYC New York, New York. Applies for U3, 10,000 watts day, 930 watts night. They are presently U4, 10 kilowatts day, and 1 kilowatt night. 930 WEZZ, Monroeville, Alabama, applies for a CP to move to Brantley, Alabama, and change to 920, with D1, 450 watts, from the tower of WAOQ, 100.3 FM. 1280 CJSL, Estevan, Saskatchewan, applies for U3, 10 kilowatts day and night with a move to 1150. 1390 WZHF, Arlington, Virginia, applies for U4, 9,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night, changing their city of license to Capitol Heights, Maryland. They're moving, along with WUST 1120, to the site of WJFK 1580. WUST and WZHF are losing their current joint transmitter site in the first half of 2014. Construction permit granted for a new station at 1040 Sanger, California, which will be U4 250 watts day, 1,000 watts night. Sanger is just east of Fresno. The day pattern is a figure eight with main lobes east, northeast, south, southwest, and the night pattern a cardioid with deep null to the east. 1040 WZSK Everett, Pennsylvania, granted a CP for D1 2,500 watts. They're presently D1 10 kilowatts day and critical hours power of 4,000 watts. 1170 WWLE Cornwall, New York, granted a construction permit for U4, 2,500 watts day, 500 watts night, and 1150. They're presently D3, 800 watts on 1170, and this replaces a previously granted CP that has expired. 1320 KXYZ, Houston, Texas, granted a CP for U4, 10,000 watts day, 5 kilowatts night. Presently, they're U4, 5,000 watts day and night. Construction permit expired. 1230 WSGD Somerville, West Virginia, had an application to extend CP deadline, but the FCC denied that application. Their CP expired in October, and their call letters are now deleted. 1400 KBEV Vernal, Utah, this CP for a new station, granted U1, 1,000 watts day, 670 watts night, was returned at the licensee's request. The station had been granted program test authority in December 2012, but never seems to have made it onto the air. It's kind of strange that someone would let that happen after all the work to get it on. Applications and appeals dismissed. The 1490 application in Orchard Homes, Montana, for a new station, U1, 1,000 watts day and 670 watts night, has been dismissed. The applicant failed to respond to a 2010 FCC request for tower information. The application for 1570 in Ettrick, Virginia, for a new station, U2, 9,000 watts day, 700 watts night, dismissed by the FCC. The applicant failed to respond to a 2010 request to amend application to avoid excessive QRM to other stations. Petition for reconsideration dismissed and stations purged. The application for 540 in Star, Idaho, for a new station, U4, 5,000 watts day, 350 watts night, has been dismissed. The FCC asked for updated data in 2010, and the applicant never responded. In 2007, the FCC gave this application priority over a mutually exclusive application at Kuna, Idaho, which would have been U4, 9,500 watts day and 400 night. So the question is, will the Kuna, Idaho applicant now step up? The CP for 550 in Reno, Nevada, for a new station, U2, 1,000 watts day and 250 watts night, that expired more than a year ago, has now been fully removed from the FCC database. The application for 1040 in West Simsbury, Connecticut, for a new station, U1, 250 watts day, 129 night, has been dismissed. The FCC asked for updated data in 2009, and the applicant never responded to their letter. The application for 1160 Bram, Minnesota, has some problems. The FCC had decided that this application for U4, 5,000 watts day, 2,000 night, had priority over a mutually exclusive application at Kirbyville, Missouri, which was U4, 1,000 watts day, 270 night. On December 4th, it denied a petition for reconsideration by the Kirbyville applicant. So a CP for Bram may be issued soon. And 1230 WSGD Somersville, West Virginia, their expired CP has now been deleted from the FCC database. Changes to existing stations. Construction permits on the air. 1150 KRMS Osage Beach, Missouri's CP for U1, 840 watts day, 55 watts night, from a new site, now on the air. 1200 KPSF, Cathedral City, California. This station, which was granted U4 5,000 watts day, 1300 at night, has been on the air for at least a year and a half with Program Test Authority. KPSF was finally granted a license on December 31st. 1340 KJMU, Sand Springs, Oklahoma, applies for a license to cover for U1 500 watts day, a kilowatt at night. 1380 WFNW, Naugatuck, Connecticut, applies for license to cover and Program Test Authority for a construction permit for U4 3500 watts day and 350 watts night. 1410 WZBR, Brockton, Massachusetts, applies for license to cover CP for U1 610 watts day and 25 watts night at Dedham, Massachusetts. 1590 WPVL, Platteville, Wisconsin, applies for a license to cover their CP for U2 970 watts day, 470 watts night from a new site. Construction permits built and moving towards licensing. 680 WMFS, Memphis, Tennessee, applies for Program Test Authority. Their U2 8,000 watts day and 5,000 watts night. 1240 WFOY, St. Augustine, Florida, applies for license to cover their CP to U1 500 watts day and night. 1380 KVSM, Santa Maria, California, is granted Program Test Authority for a new station, U2 650 watts day, 500 watts night. And 1590 WCGO, Evanston, Illinois, applies for license to cover their CP U2 7200 watts day, 2500 watts night. Construction permits granted. 650 WSRO, Ashland, Massachusetts, granted a CP for U4 1500 watts day, 187 watts night. They're presently U4 1500 watts day and 100 watts night, so we're assuming all they have to do is turn up the power. 740 WDGY, Hudson, Wisconsin, has been granted an amendment to their CP for D3 5000 watts, modifying the pattern. 860 CBRL, Williams Lake, British Columbia, has been granted a construction permit to move to 92.1 FM as CBYK1. At the present time, we're assuming that once CBYK1 has been on the air for 90 days, CBRL will be switched off and drift into history. 900 CKBI, Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, granted CP for U1, 10 kilowatts day, 2800 watts night. They're currently U2, 10,000 watts day and night. 970 KCFO, Tulsa, Oklahoma, granted a CP to modify their daytime pattern from 6 towers to 2. 980 CHRF, Montreal, Quebec, the CP for this new station grant is to move to 980 from 990. Upon completion, there'll be U4 50 kilowatts daytime, 10,000 watts at night. 1400 CIOR, Princeton, British Columbia, applies to relay CJOR 1240. This relay will be 24/7, and apparently it's been doing so for some time, but forgot to get CRTC permission to drop local programming. 1690 CHTO, Toronto, Ontario, applies for U1 6,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. Presently, they're U1 3,000 watts day and a kilowatt at night. By the way, we noticed recently a change with 1350 KRLC, Clarkston, Lewiston, Washington, which has a dual two-state city of license. They're now listed by the FCC as licensed simply to Lewiston, Idaho. No technical changes have been noted. Special Temporary Authority, 540 WWCS, Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania, applies for STA for pattern at variance. 550 WPAB, Ponce, Puerto Rico, applies for an STA for U3 3500 watts day and night due to transmitter problems. 880 WRRZ, Clinton, North Carolina, granted special temporary authority for temporary antenna as their tower partially collapsed. 940 WCPC, Houston, Mississippi, applies for an STA for U1 10 kilowatts day, 7 watts at night during tower work. Their prior STA with the same parameters inadvertently was allowed to expire. 940 WGFP Webster, Massachusetts applies for an STA for a long wire antenna and will be operating experimental as WX3CFA to test a high-efficiency broadband antenna at the WGFP site. The reason for the STA is there isn't room for both antennas, although the stations don't operate at the same time. 950 KRWZ, Parker, Colorado, granted an STA for pattern at variance. 960 KNEB, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, granted an STA for U3, 5,000 watts day, 150 watts night, using their day pattern at all times. 990 KTKT, Tucson, Arizona, applies for an STA to operate at parameters out of tolerance while completing final tests. 1010 KIQI San Francisco, California, granted special temporary authority for U2, 2,000 watts day, 500 watts at night, with the night pattern at variance. 1010 KXEN St. Louis, Missouri, applies for an extension to its STA for U1, 350 watts day and 125 watts night from an alternate site. The STA facilities have been built, but KXEN is still on the air with license U4 50,000 watts day and 500 watts night. The original sale of the land where KXEN's transmitter is located fell through, so the land is actively being marketed, and KXEN could be ordered off the facilities at any time. So the STA at this point would be extended as a contingency plan if that occurs. And if there is a power outage at the licensed site, KXEN wants to use the STA facilities as a backup. 1060 KIPA Hilo, Hawaii applies for STA for U1, 2,000 watts day and night due to a transmitter component failure. 1130 KTCN Minneapolis, Minnesota applies for an STA for pattern at variance. 1170 WWVA Wheeling, West Virginia granted an STA for pattern at variance. 1220 KGIR Cape Girardeau, Missouri granted an STA. They lost the top 60 feet of their tower in a tornado, but have reconfigured the remaining part of the tower to operate at licensed power. 1280 KPKZ, Fitchburg, Massachusetts, granted an STA for night pattern at variance. 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Michigan, the old Keener 13, has been granted an STA for U1, 900 watts day and night from a temporary long wire antenna. 1310 WADB, Asbury Park, New Jersey, granted special temporary authority for pattern at variance. 1460 KENO, Las Vegas, Nevada, applies for an STA for U1, 2,500 watts day, 155 watts night after suffering electrical storm damage. 1480 KYOS Merced, California applies for an STA with U4, 2,000 watts day and night due to power module replacement in their transmitter. 1480 WEEO Shippensburg, Pennsylvania granted STA for U1, 406 watts day and 9 watts night from a temporary antenna. 1540 WYCL Niles, Ohio applies for special temporary authority with D1, 125 watts due to antenna damage from copper thieves. And finally, 1560 WLZR Melbourne, Florida applies for an STA for D1, 250 watts due to vandalism of their grounding system. Silent stations, these stations informing the FCC, they are silent. 700 WCNF, Dothan, Alabama, is off the air for financial reasons since January 1st. 930 WEZZ, Monroeville, Alabama, is off again, this time since December 26th due to an antenna failure. 1020 WSBX, Okolokne, Georgia. The FCC canceled the license back on November 22nd for being silent for more than a year. It sent the station a certified letter asking for their status, and the FCC got back the certified mail card confirming receipt, but no response, so the license has now been deleted. 1050 CKSB, Winnipeg, Manitoba has been deleted, CKSB has completed the move to 88.1 FM and the AM went silent January 3rd. 1270 WEIC Charleston, Illinois went off January 1st and intends to formally relinquish their license. 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Michigan was silent since January 1st of 2013, returned to the air October 9th, and then promptly went off again on the 11th. 1370 KTPA Prescott, Arizona has been silent since November 22nd due to a transmitter failure. 1430 WPNI Amherst, Massachusetts off since November 30th for financial issues. 1490 WTVL Waterville, Maine silent since November 27th due to transmitter damage from severe weather. 1580 WTCL Chattahoochee, Florida is silent since December 24th for staffing reasons. They intend to be back on the air soon, but there may be an opportunity for a job in radio there. And 1600 Fountain in South Carolina went silent at midnight on December 31st, and the license was canceled on January 3rd. This was part of the deal for the power increase at WTZQ 1600 in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and has the notoriety of being the first AM station so far in 2014 to fall silent. These stations informing the FCC they are no longer silent. 910 WMRB, Columbia, Tennessee, had been off since July 1st, but have been back on since January 2nd. 1050 WYBG, Messina, New York, has been silent since October 6th and are now back on the air as of December 2nd. 1330 WJSS, Havre de Grace, Maryland, has been silent since April 15th. They came back on December 11th. 1340 KJMU Sand Springs, Oklahoma, which was off since December 2nd, 2012, is now back on the air with CP facilities since November 29th. 1360 WHJC Matewan, West Virginia was silent since the beginning of 2013, but they're back on the air as of December 30th. 1370 KTPA Prescott, Arizona was off since November 22nd, but have returned to the air as of December 19th. 1380 WNRR North Augusta, South Carolina, silent since December 19th, 2012, back on as of November 21st. 1550 WZRK Lake Geneva, Wisconsin has been off since January 10th, 2013, and just recently came back on the air January 7th to preserve the license. And finally, on this long AM switch, some news. First, the FCC's cash register. The licensee of WGRB 1390 in Chicago and five Chicago area FM stations were each fined $20,000 for failure to comply with equal employment opportunity vacancy notice requirements. And some statistics, the FCC will record a total of 4,727 AM stations licensed at the end of 2013, down 9 from the total at the end of 2012. New station CPs outstanding at the end of 2013 numbered 54, including 7 that have been built and are awaiting final licensing, 7 that have expired but are still kept in the database, presumably under appeal, and 40 within their original 3-year construction window. That's our AM switch for February 2014. Keep in mind, we love to hear from you with observations and information, and be sure to let us know about silent stations. You can call the Musings line or send a card or letter to Fred. His address is at the start of the magazine. I'm Dave Alpert, wishing you an early spring and great DX. Now here's Mark Durenberger.
Thanks, Dave, and howdy, neighbors. That's what they used to say up here in the North Country. Today we respond to requests to bring you another of those special midwinter clear channel broadcasts from WCCO Minneapolis. Gosh, we haven't done one of these since 2007. This show has historical interest. It'll be exactly 50 years since this Clear Channel honest-to-goodness broadcast was sent into the ether and around the world from 830. Now, I'm essentially lazy this time of year, so to explain this, in case it's new to you, we invoke the introduction from our column of March 2007. The show title came from the station's put-down of the TV quiz show scandals that had rocked the industry. Every so often, WCCO would broadcast a different version called a Clear Channel honest-to-goodness, and they did this on selected cold winter nights to demonstrate the ability of Clear Channel stations to reach across the country and touch folks one-on-one. The station is hard at work on air pushing the advantages of Clear Channel reception, while behind the scenes, the lawyers and lobbyists from WCCO and a dozen other stations were busy in Congress and at the FCC, trying to stop the breakup of the remaining 1A channels. By itself, this show isn't too terribly interesting, but it's fun to turn back the clock to see how we communicated with each other across vast distances in the era before the satellite motor mouths made this sort of one-on-one, two-way neighborly touch a thing of the past. Okay, we start the Wayback Machine and spin the tape back to 50 years ago.
Do you know the answer to this question?
What radio program has listeners in Massachusetts, California, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Texas, Nebraska, and New York Mills?
I'll tell you what, if you know the answer to that question, you'll win big money on Honest to Goodness.
Right, Clear Channel Honest to Goodness tonight. This is Dick Chapman and Charlie Boone sitting in for an under-the-weather Randy Merriman with what we call Clear Channel Honest to Goodness.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you see, tonight we cast aside the regular questions that have been bugging people for weeks. We cast aside the regular mail that we normally get in the course of the day, and we pick up some of the extra folks who write us all the time from all over the country. You know, you get a card that says, hey, how can I get in on this Honest to Goodness, and it's postmarked El Paso. Or you get another card saying, I sure would like you to call me sometime, and it comes from Poughkeepsie, New York. Instead of throwing these in now and then, way out and beyond our reaches of the normal mails here, we pick a night every 2 weeks or so here like this one and call all over the country, get special questions, and kind of visit with everybody Clear Channel-wise on Honest to Goodness. We call you, you answer the questions, and we try to make them easy. And you win the money. But the most fun about this is you get to hear from folks. Well, let's see. Our first call is going to be down south. That's the one we're going to try to complete right now. Hear from folks in the south and the north and in the Canada sometimes. Occasionally we try to get into a foreign country like Mexico and even ships at sea. So here we go with the first call for $8.30 on Clear Channel Honest to Goodness. Say, Charlie, I got to...
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. Is this the Aaron's residence in Atlanta,
yes.
Georgia?
Yes.
This Paula?
No, this is Dottie.
Dottie, are you Paula's mother or what?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
This is Honest to Goodness calling WCCO Radio.
Oh, wonderful.
In
Listen,
the Twin
she just
Cities.
Went to bed. Can I put her on the phone?
Certainly.
Just a minute.
All right.
Get her on the phone. This is WCCO calling.
We're calling Paula Ahrens, Mercedes Court Northeast in Atlanta,
yeah,
Georgia.
Yeah, how you all?
How you all down there in Atlanta?
Well, I haven't picked up an accent. I've got many friends in Minneapolis and Minnesota.
You sound like a Minnesotan.
Well, Paul, there's someone who wants to talk to you on the telephone. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello, Paula.
Hi.
This is Honest to Goodness calling. Randy's under the weather. He got the bug, but Dick Chapman's our quiz master, and he's right here.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
You had gone to bed, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Basketball practice.
Basketball practice?
She gets up early in the morning for basketball practice, about 6:30. It's an hour. There's an hour difference in time. It's 20 minutes to 10 here.
Now, what team do you play on?
I'm on the 8th grade Lakeside team.
And that's a girls' basketball team?
Yes, sir.
Well, you don't have to call me sir.
You live in Georgia.
Paula and Mrs. Ahrens, now, let's see. We ought to be able to find a question that you can answer for $8.30, some of that good CCO dough.
We'll have to pick up a difficult one for them.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Here's one, number three. You folks interested in fishing?
Well, I don't know too much about it, but go ahead.
Paula, how about you?
I don't know much about it either.
Well, Minnesota has 10,000 lakes and hundreds of streams in which you find... four kinds of trout. Brook trout, brown trout, rainbow trout, and what other kind of trout?
Is it lake trout?
What kind of trout?
Lake.
Lake Trout. Of course it's Lake Trout. You betcha. That wins you $8.30, Paula.
Thank you.
You betcha. Can you use the money right here at Christmas time? Yeah, you don't have any snow there in Atlanta, do you?
No, it's been about 40 degrees, very warm and sunny.
Uh-huh.
A little bit cool sometimes during the day.
Yeah.
The weather's been very nice.
Well, Paula and Mrs. Ahrens, we're glad to talk to you there in Atlanta, and we send our good wishes to all your friends here in Minnesota and this part of the country, and we'll send our $8.30 check to you in the mail very soon.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to all. Thank
yes,
you
sir.
Very much.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Same to you. Good night.
Hang on just a minute now while we check the address. Tonight, we're calling all over the country.
We might tell friends of CCO land that it's been nice and mild today. Hello, is this the Felcher residence in Kelso, Washington?
Yes, it is.
The state of Washington. This is Mrs. Vi?
Yes.
Vi, this is WCCO Radio calling you.
Oh.
Honest to goodness.
Well, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, good. Dick Chapman's our quizmaster. Randy's got the bug. He's got a little flu, and so Dick's the quizmaster, and I'm sitting in with him.
How are you, Mrs. Felcher?
Oh, very good.
And where exactly is Kelso, Washington?
Well, it's about 100 miles south of Seattle, or about 50 miles north of Portland.
Uh-huh. What kind of weather are you having tonight?
Oh, it's been beautiful here all day.
You know, we're kind of glad to hear that because most of our weather comes right across you first.
Oh, well, then you're going to get some nice weather.
You've had kind of a rainy fall, though, haven't you?
Oh, we've had rain here every day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I bet you would really appreciate that sunshine.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Well, I've got just a question now for you, and $8.30 we'll pay you. Well, now, let's see. I've got a question that I'm sure you can answer. We try to make these questions easy. Try this one for $8.30. Two rivers form part of the boundary between Minnesota and Wisconsin. You name one of the two rivers.
Well, isn't that where the Mississippi starts in there?
What are you saying? The Mississippi is one of them?
Yes.
That's right. And we'll send you $8.30 from our Clear Channel funds here on Honest to Goodness. Thanks for talking with us.
Well, thank you for calling.
Hang on just a moment now.
All right.
Mrs. Vi Felcher speaking to us from Kelso, Washington tonight. This is the Good Neighbor to the Northwest with studios in St. Paul and Minneapolis at 830-WCCO.
Calling Rocky Mountain. Hello. Is this the Johnson residence in Colorado Springs?
Yes, it is.
Yes, on Ridgeway?
Yes.
Well, is this Cecil? Or Cecil?
Yes.
How are you?
Well, I'm just fine. How are you?
Well, great. This is Honest to Goodness from WCCO Radio in the Twin Cities calling you, and I'm Charlie Boone. This is Dick Chapman here, our quizmaster. Are you retired there, Mr. Johnson?
I teach out at Fort Carson. I have the projectionist school.
Oh, Fort Carson is still going strong.
Oh, yes.
Well, the Air Force Academy is sort of taking the focus away from Fort Carson.
That's right. They have the hole in the mountain now, right across from Fort Carson.
The hole in the mountain? Is
yeah.
that where the Air Defense Command is?
That's where it is. It's located there. You may have read about the Air Force Strategic Command going into the mountain.
Sure.
It's fabulous. You should sometime come out here on your vacation. It's grown just terrific. Colorado Springs now is over 100,000.
Is that right?
Yes.
Listen, you talk with Dick here, will you?
All right.
Yeah, I was so interested.
I'm going to make a call.
Yeah, this is Dick Chapman, Mr.
Well,
Johnson.
How are you, Dick?
Pretty good. How are you? It sounds like springtime in the Rockies there with that weather you're having.
You're right. Right. We listen to you fellas all the time. We took our vacation, my son and I, and we saw a doubleheader up at
Met Stadium.
You're right.
How long have you been in Colorado?
I've been here 14 years.
And that's pretty country, Colorado Springs. I was there once myself, not to stay, but I visited the Air Force Academy was just getting started, and I was there when they unveiled the blockhouse. You remember that?
Yes.
Cecil, we go almost coast to coast on our Honest to Goodness shows every night, of course, Clear Channel Radio, and we have a listener right now in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening, Ken and Elaine Parent, and they listen every night, too, and I got them on the line. So let's find you listen along, Cecil, and we'll find out what kind of weather they're having.
Fine, thank you.
Is this Elaine?
Yes, now I have to look quick.
Why?
To see what the weather's like.
Oh, has it been snowing today?
No, uh-uh.
You're getting some snow around the east, though, aren't you?
Yes, it missed us. We had 2 inches predicted, but it didn't quite get it.
Say, Elaine, say hello to Cecil Johnson, who's listening to you right now in Colorado Springs.
Hi. How do you do, Mrs. Parent?
Hi.
I can hear you very nicely.
Isn't this fun?
Have you been ever been out in the in our area?
Oh, yes, and we have some very dear friends who now live in Colorado Springs.
Well, how nice.
I know they'd love to hear from you. It's William Campbell, and they live on Maysland Drive.
Yes, Maysland Drive. You should drive out here some summer vacation.
I'll take your name. We've been out there now. We weren't there last year, but we've been out 2 years before that. We love Colorado.
Say, Cecil, do you fish any?
Not too much, Dick.
I was going to say.
There aren't any lakes there.
No, but there's some beautiful streams, isn't there, Cecil?
Yes, there are.
Yeah. Up in the mountains, there are a couple of lakes.
Actually, you have to get up quite a ways to get into the real good fishing.
Yeah, those trout, boy, they're something, huh?
Yes, they are.
Well, now we're going to have you put your heads together here and try to answer a question. And we'll, if you both answer correctly, why, we'll send both of you $8.30, kind of a Christmas bonus, all right?
Well, how nice.
Now, let's see if I can find one I think you can answer. We rig these questions. We want folks to win, see? I think maybe both of you can get this one. Minnesota's state motto, L'Etoile du Nord, means, and I'm going to give you a multiple choice here. You tell me what it means.
Well, say it again. Pronounce it again.
The state motto is L'Etoile du Nord. Now, that's the state motto, and it means either Northern Lights or the North Star or Pinecone Country.
Wait, it's the middle one I know, and I remember that from my university days, huh?
The North Star?
North Star State.
You think that's right, Cease?
Yes, I would say the North Star.
You're both right, boy, and that's $8.30 apiece.
Well, thank you, Dick.
Okay. It was nice to talk to both of you.
Well, it's awfully nice to talk to you.
And you keep in touch there on good old 830, will you?
Sure will. We listen to you all the time.
Cecil Johnson in Colorado Springs and Mrs. Ken Parent, Elaine Parent, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they were hooked up cross-country. It's kind of fun to do that, isn't it, and compare notes. You know, now tomorrow, what'll happen to me, I'll be walking down the street, and or I'll stop at the YMCA, as I frequently do, and somebody will say, hey, how do you do that, for heaven's sakes? How do you talk to those people in Pittsburgh and you know, and Colorado Springs and so forth? What do? Soup up the power, or you put a network on, or what? No, we don't do anything like that. These folks are listening all the time, and it's just good old clear channel power, 50,000 watts from here on 830 in the middle of the dial. And we just set aside this night to call the folks that are listening to us all the time all across the country. Kind of fun. Clear channel, honest to goodness, from WCCO Radio in the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis in good old Minnesota. And we're calling coast to coast tonight.
We're calling Massachusetts tonight.
Massachusetts?
Yeah, we'll see where they parked the car.
Hello.
Hello, is this the Sam Ely residence? Is this Mrs. Francis Pearson?
Yes, sir.
On 10 Milton Road? Well, this is Honest to Goodness calling you on WCCO Radio in St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do? No, I was kidding there where I said Sam Ely because I think Sam lives around there, doesn't he?
He lives around here somewhere.
Yeah, Sam is, of course, manager of our Minnesota Twins.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, this is Charlie Boone, and Dick Chapman's our quizmaster tonight. Say hello to Dick.
Hello, Mrs. Pearson.
Hello.
How long have you been a Massachusettsian?
Well, I've been here for 3 years.
3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Did you move there with your husband because of business reasons? Or?
No, I'm a widow, but I came here to do some work.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
What is the work? Are you...
Well, I'm working in the gifts and endowments department of our church, the Christian Science Church.
Oh, I see. How do you like Brookline?
Well, I like Brookline.
Isn't Brookline very close to Boston?
Yes, it is very close.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Say, hang on just a moment. We're going to let you talk to somebody else somewhere else in the country. Yeah, who's this?
Dave Tracy.
Dave.
Hello, Dave, how are you?
Fine, you?
Good. We're talking with Mrs. Pearson from Brookline, Massachusetts on our honest-to-goodness line. And you're in Vista, California. Where's that?
Well, that's about 35 miles north of San Diego and about 90 miles south of L.A.
Uh-huh. Say,
about 10 miles in from the ocean.
Sounds kind of pretty. Say, this is Dick Chapman, Dave. You see, we've got everybody hooked up together at the same time. You're talking to us from Vista, California. Here we are in the middle of the country in St. Paul, Minneapolis. And also talking with us, and you at the same time, is Mrs. Frances Pearson, and she's speaking to you from Brookline, Massachusetts. Dave, say hello to Mrs. Pearson.
How do you do, Mrs. Pearson?
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
How's the weather there?
Well, it's a little colder. We had snow today.
How long has it been since you've seen some snow, Dave?
Well, we can see the snow up in the mountains. We go out towards the dump, and we can see the San Bernardino Mountains with snow on.
Towards the dump?
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to put it. Well, let's see if we can let the two of you put your heads together and win some of our WCCO money here just in time for a kind of a Christmas bonus. You can talk this over and agree on an answer between you, and then I'll accept that and see if you can win the $8.30 apiece. Here's the question. Eastern North America, where you are, Mrs. Pearson,
yes,
is served by three principal drainage systems. Hudson's Bay is one, the St. Lawrence is another, and the Mississippi. Now, which of these have headwaters in Minnesota?
It's the Mississippi.
You think so, Dave?
Yeah.
You don't think the Hudson's Bay is in the Mississippi either, huh? Well, it doesn't make any difference. That's right. The Mississippi is correct. As a matter of fact, all three of those are correct, because the headwaters that feed those three drainage systems all start in the Mississippi. Hudson's Bay, St. Lawrence, in Minnesota. The Hudson's Bay, St. Lawrence, and Mississippi all come from Minnesota.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I just realized that.
Yeah, you know where the Laurentian Divide is? It happens to be up just on the Iron Range, and that's the difference between north and south. From there, the waters go into either Hudson's Bay or the St. Lawrence, and south of there, southern Minnesota, go into the Mississippi and, of course, into the Gulf of Mexico. Well, you both won $8.30 for Christmas, and honest to goodness, it was nice talking to you in Brookline, Massachusetts, and in Vista, California, at the same time.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Merry
thank
Christmas.
Thank you very much, and nice meeting you, Mrs. Francis.
Well, Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas.
That was Brookline, Massachusetts, Mrs. Francis Pearson, and in Vista, California, Dave Tracy, the son of Mrs. Lloyd Tracy.
We're going to go east, but not quite as far east.
Next call on Clear Channel, honest to goodness. May or may not be our last. Our time's running a little short.
Hello?
Hello, is this the Miller residence?
Yes, it is.
In Harbor Beach, Michigan.
That's right.
Well, is this the Reverend Miller?
That's correct.
Well, this is Charlie Boone and Dick Chapman, honest to goodness.
Yes, hold on. I'll get the radios down a little.
Okay, fine. Calling the Reverend David Miller in Harbor Beach. And if I'm not mistaken, that's right on the water, isn't it? Say, Reverend Miller.
Yes.
Harbor Beach, is that right on the water?
Yes, we're right on the lake.
Well, Reverend Miller, what church is it there that you serve in Harbor Beach?
We have the First Baptist Church.
Uh-huh. How long have you been at it?
We've been here 2 years.
And did you come from a church prior to that, somewhere else?
Well, yes. We were at Roscommon and St. Helen here in Michigan.
That's kind of Upper Michigan, isn't it?
Well, they call it Upper Thumb. If you follow the St. Lawrence Seaway northward, you go above Port Huron and you'll find us.
I guess that makes you almost seafaring folk there, so close to the big lake, which is very much like the seashore.
Yes, and we get out on the lake a little bit once in a while.
Do you listen to us often there in Harbor Beach?
Oh, yes, we generally have WCCO on.
Uh-huh, well, we have a lot of fun, and we hope you folks do, too. And this is especially fun to talk to folks that we don't get a chance to call very often.
Yes.
Say, Reverend Miller, I was calling on the other line, Texas, and listen to
I'm
this.
I'm sorry. All circuits are busy now. Will you try your call again later, please?
That sounds like Mrs. Johnson.
I was listening to the accent of the recorded operator. That was very funny.
Yes, I spent some time in Texas, so I know how they sound.
Yeah,
down there they say Minneapolis.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see if I can give you some of our WCCO dough for the collection plate, as it were.
Yes, we might be able to make use of that.
Say, here's a question for you.
All right.
For $8.30, which is the most popular upland game bird in Minnesota hunting? Pheasants, quail, or prairie chickens?
Well, it's the good old ringneck pheasant.
You betcha. By far the most popular.
In fact, I've hunted them.
Oh, is that so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, good.
We have a few of those here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. At $8.30, we'll send you in the mail very soon, Reverend Miller, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yes, very good. Thank you. We're going to take the family out on that $8.30 for dinner.
Very good. Hang on now. Charlie wants to check the address.
Okay, thank you very much.
And that was the Reverend David J. Miller in Harbor Beach, Michigan, who listens regularly there in the Upper Thumb of Michigan.
Old Dutch potato chips, Old Dutch the snappy chips, crispy, crunchy, light and snappy, Old Dutch potato chips.
Old Dutch the crispiest, Old Dutch the tastiest, crispy, crunchy, light and snappy, Old Dutch potato chips.
Oh, boy, now you get paid for enjoying snappy old Dutch potato chips.
What do you mean, get paid?
Well, have you ever heard of such a thing, getting paid for doing
that? No.
All you got to do is enjoy old Dutch potato chips with tasty dip made from Lipton onion soup mix. You get a 25-cent refund. Send in the price mark from an old Dutch potato chips twin pack and front panel from Lipton onion soup mix, and you get a quarter back. Good deal? You bet it is. Look for Lipton and the offer on old Dutch packages.
Old Dutch potato chips,
Old Dutch the snappy chips, crispy, crunchy, light and snappy, Old Dutch potato chips.
Gee, I'm sorry we couldn't call Littlefield, Texas, and we want to call Detroit and Osage Beach, Missouri. I know where that is, and Illinois and Valparaiso. But we'll do this again. Join us when we have another Clear Channel, Honest to Goodness.
Oh, my, that's 50 years ago, and we certainly were a lot more civil and polite to each other, weren't we? Actually, almost a more simplistic time, wasn't it? That was Clear Channel Honest to Goodness from WCCO Radio. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We present this band scan of varied and hopefully interesting programs every month or so. Hope that you'll join us 30 days from now. Until then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. Bids are being accepted for the 2014 NRC WTFDA Annual Convention. For questions and information, please contact Ernie Wesolowski, that's Wesolowski, at the following email address, neErnieW, that's neErnieW, at yahoo.com. Or you can write to him at 13312 Westwood Lane, Omaha, Nebraska, 68144. Ernie can help you evaluate the practical aspects of hosting a convention so that you can decide to make a formal bid, and you'll know exactly what you need to make that decision. Please do not wait too late, as the later a convention is announced, the less time members have to prepare and finalize their travel plans.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Longtime big band station WAMB changes formats in the wake of owner Bill Berry's death. This article came from the Nashville Scene and was written by D. Patrick Rogers on Friday, January 10, 2014. Sad news for longtime listeners of local radio station WAMB, which broadcasts on 99.3 FM and 1200 AM. WAMB, long known for its format of big bands, beautiful ballads, and adult standards, think Glenn Miller, Nat King Cole, Judy Garland, and beyond, has switched formats to Latin pop music and English pop hits. WAMB founder and owner Bill Berry, a Vanderbilt graduate and World War II veteran who started the station in 1971, died in September at the age of 88. His daughter Susie James, who also owns and operates Lebanon stations, WANT-FM and WCOR-AM, tells us that they don't plan on selling the station just yet, but began leasing airtime in the new year and thus the new format. From the release sent our way by James, WAMB FM 99.3 and AM 1200 are proud to bring full-time Latin pop music and English pop hits to the Middle Tennessee area. WAMB owner, the late Bill Berry, was regarded as modern-day pioneer in the broadcast industry. He was proud to be the first one to bring Hispanic program to Nashville and had been working with the Silva Entertainment family for over two decades. The new format will target first and second generation Latin American market. WAMB regrets the end of 42 years of previous programming, which included Big Band and the Music of Yesteryear. The family of Bill Berry greatly appreciates the staff, loyal listeners, and advertisers that have touched our lives. However, this beautiful music can still be found weekdays from 12 noon until 3 p.m. on WCOR AM 1490.
WSPG ESPN Spartanburg off-air after a radio tower knocked down. This story was written by Del Calci of the Fox TV affiliate in Spartanburg. AM 1400 WSPG, based in Spartanburg, was knocked off the air after the station's broadcasting tower was knocked down. Dispatchers said a nearby homeowner was cutting down a tree when it fell into power lines, which then fell on the radio tower at WSPG AM's studios on Garner Road. On the station's Facebook page, they wrote, "You'd think this is an Allstate Mayhem commercial." The station went on to say that they're working to return the station to the air, but it's a matter for the insurance companies. There are both temporary and permanent solutions we're weighing, and all will take time. WSPG broadcasts the ESPN radio network along with covering local sports and was due to broadcast a USC upstate men's basketball game against Lipscomb. The station broadcasts its radio signal on 1400 AM and 97.1 FM with a signal that covers most of the Spartanburg area. Both stations are off the air due to the accident. The station said there is no timetable right now on when they'll be back on the air. We'll let you know on the next AM switch what's happening. For now, for the DX Audio Service, I'm Mark Dernberger.
Searching for musical gold on AM radio. This article comes from Rebecca Rothbaum in the January 10th edition of the Wall Street Journal. It was the kind of ingenious playlist that strings together unsuspected songs. Familiar, but not overplayed. Skipping genres and eras in the name of the greater musical logic. The perfect soundtrack to a weekend road trip outside the city. Except this wasn't a well-crafted iTunes mix or recommendation spit out by Spotify, but an AM radio station in the Hudson Valley, and a reminder that even in this digital age, this scratchy radio band still offers some musical gold, although it may take some digging to find. Radio listeners long ago decamped for FM, and those still tuning in to AM, few are there for music. Only two of the New York's Area 11 radio stations have music formats, as opposed to talk, news, and sports. And their audiences are decidedly niche, the gospel station WLIB and Radio Disney. News and talk are dominant because they're the easiest way to make money, says Ron Simon, curator of television and radio at the Paley Center for Media in New York. But there are little pockets that can do their own thing. Venture out of the city and you'll find them. These small, independently owned stations tend to play a mix that reflects the owner's personal interests and, in some case, record collections. The music leans toward jazz, blues, and country of a vintage that somehow sounds better over the crackle of AM. The kind of music you might hear in a retro-minded bar in Bushwick or on the Lower East Side. These stations may be few and far between, but where else would you hear Dusty Springfield's I Only Want to Be With You, followed by George Jones' When the Grass Grows Over Me, and Cleo Brown's Boogie Woogie? The following are three New York area AM stations to tune to on your next road trip. All of them broadcast from beyond the five boroughs, but are within a few hours' drive of the city, or a click away on the internet. Listening to WHVW can be a dislocating experience, as if through some snag in the time-space continuum. You've stumbled on a station broadcasting from Serpiatone past. The tiny station, powered by just 500 watts during the day and 57 watts at night, only plays recorded music before 1970. Much of it is on vinyl and dating back to the time before television. Digital sucks, especially when you get into MP3s, said owner J.P. Ferraro, 65, who also prefers reel-to-reel tape for pre-recorded shows, in addition to his hyperbolic named afternoon show, Pirate Joe's Country Music Radio Show and Old Blues and R&B Extravaganza. He hosts a classical music program in the evening. An AM radio station devoted to early 20th century music might not be a recipe for commercial success, but Mr. Ferraro has always broadcast from the fringes. In the early 1970s, he ran a pirate radio station in Yonkers, New York, that earned him his nickname and a year's probation. I'm one of those people who find it hard to engage in something they don't like, he said in a phone interview from the station, which operates out of a former department store on Poughkeepsie's faded Main Street. Although he struggled to keep the station going, working with a minimal budget and volunteers, it's allowed him to combine his twin passions for old records and radio.
It's the history of American music, he said, keeping a great part in the American culture alive. When WRIV began broadcasting in 1955, listeners in the Long Island town of Riverhead tuned in to hear big band hits. Today, the station's programming has crept up through the decades, if only slightly. Taylor Swift is a very talented woman, said owner and morning host Bruce Tria, 57, but you're not going to hear her on this station. Mr. Tria, who previously worked for an FM oldie station in Sag Harbor, bought the station in 1987 with his father Vincent for $220,000. Cheaper than a house, as he puts it. He takes inspiration from the radio days of his youth in Comic, where he listened to WNEW, the influential AM station out of New York, best known for playing standards by artists like Frank Sinatra and Lena Horne. All I ever wanted to be is the guy on the radio, he said. A red barn is appropriately a rustic setting for WTBQ, broadcasting out of rural Warwick. It's the home to shows like Hootenanny Cafe, which features local folk musicians, and an equestrian-themed Saturday morning talk show. Still, owner Frank Trott points out that the station's diverse programming, from jazz to underground 80s music, he says, I want to treat the listeners intelligently, said Mr. Trout, who's 59 years old. A longtime local DJ, he bought the station in 1994 from owner and polka star Jimmy Sturr, who has a popular syndicated show still on the station. Despite the addition of an FM translator in 2008 that allows the daytime station to play around the clock, Mr. Trout says that many listeners still tune in to AM. They like the sound of it, he said. The FM sounds like you're listening to a CD in your living room. AM sounds like, well, like it used to sound. And that's Searching for Musical Gold on AM Radio by Rebecca Rothbaum.
One, two, three, four, five.
WXYZ!